This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. President Donald Trump appears to be walking back his threats to send the military to Chicago. Trump last week said Chicago could get the same treatment as Washington, D.C., where nearly 2,000 National Guard troops have been deployed. When asked about it today while taking questions in the Oval Office, Mr. Trump said he wasn't going to do anything to intervene in Illinois until he gets a request to do so. The Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center is opening a satellite in Chicago's Loop. This comes as the main location in North Suburban Skokie is closing for renovations. The satellite location is going all in on technology featuring interactive exhibits and virtual reality elements. Museum CEO Bernard Sherkasov hopes the downtown location can help educate visitors of all backgrounds, not just about the Holocaust, but other genocides.
The Holocaust, as big as it was never inevitable. It is the result of hundreds of thousands of individual actions that people took to perpetuate, bystand, collaborate, but also hope, love, assist.
The satellite museum opens to the public tomorrow. Well, you might need a light jacket when you're heading out this week. The Chicago region is expecting fall-like highs ranging between the upper 60s and lower 70s. This signals autumn is on the way. The National Weather Service says some neighborhoods could see some storms, some showers on Thursday. Overall, it's going to be a very nice week. Meteorologist Ricky Castro says, for the most part, temperatures are on par for this time of year.
You know, next thing you know, it'll be November, December. We're talking about how cold it is, so I think it's important when you do get days weather like this, to make sure you do get outside and spend time in it if you can.
Castro says it is still possible after this week to see temperatures in the 80s as we approach October and November. You're listening to The Rundown. Chicago's new police oversight chief has been wiping out or dramatically scaling back recommendations to fire officers who investigators say committed serious misconduct. A new investigation from WBEZ and the Sun-Times show these reversals are undoing months and years of investigative work, and they're coming at the request of the city's police superintendent. My colleagues Anna Savchenka from WBEZ and Tom Shuba from the Sun-Times talked through their findings with anchor Mary Dixon.
So, Anna, you've been digging into police discipline cases in which Superintendent Larry Snelling disagreed with the conclusions of the city's investigators. Can you tell us what you found?
We found that between May and July of this year, there were at least five cases where COPA sought to fire or suspend for a lengthy period of time the officers that were involved in those cases, and then either significantly reduced the discipline they received or walked it back completely. For example, there was one case where an officer fired 11 bullets at an armed civilian, and the COPA initially recommended for the officer to be fired until the superintendent pushed back, and then COPA eventually walked back on its recommendation and only gave him a day-long suspension.
And Tom, these walkbacks in discipline, they started popping up after the resignation of the former head of the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so that was Andrea Kirsten, and her tenure kind of ended with a lot of acrimony. Allegations by whistleblowers within the office that she was biased, a lawsuit with similar claims from the Fraternal Order of Police. A civilian-led panel had sent her a letter saying they were going to start the process of potentially getting her fired, and she resigned. And within all of that, she had this big battle with Snelling, and this was over the case of Dexter Reed, who was shot and killed by Chicago police in this hail of bullets. There was a gunfight. He fired and shot an officer, and Snelling was really upset with her public comments about that case. And so all of this was kind of swirling together, and it led up to her resignation.
Just to look at the numbers, before Kirsten left COPA, how often did the agency reverse the disciplinary recommendations?
So we created a database looking at cases back to at least 2019. And what we found was there was only three comparable cases to the ones that we looked at with these six officers. So this was really a rarity until Fred Waller came in as interim superintendent and then was replaced by Larry Snelling.
Anna, what is the impact of this new trend?
Experts have mixed opinions. Sharon Fairley, for example, who previously ran COPPA, she says it's important for the superintendent to be able to challenge COPPA's findings. But then on the other hand, we have experts like Alexandra Block, who's with the ACLU of Illinois. And she says these challenges show that CPD may not be taking its obligations seriously to hold officers accountable. And she also thinks the way in which this is happening is problematic. Let's listen.
COPPA is not explaining why it's changing its recommendations so drastically. And the public deserves an explanation. The public deserves to understand if there was some serious flaw in COPPA's initial investigation or recommendation, that should be explained.
So, Tom, how does the current COPPA leadership explain these walkbacks in discipline?
They don't. And we tried to get them to explain it to us. In the reports themselves, they say we stand by our findings, but for the sake of, you know, resolving these cases, these are going to be the amended findings that we have. And we asked COPPA, and again, they didn't respond to the question directly. They said they wanted to bolster a stronger relationship with the police department. That was one kind of explanation that they gave us. But case by case, they didn't say this investigation that took us 3 years to conduct and we said we wanted to fire this officer, but we drastically changed that recommendation after pushback from the police superintendent. They didn't say this is why we did that.
Okay, so COPPA is not further explaining this at our request. What about Superintendent Snelling? Either one of you, what does he have to say about this?
He says that he's deeply involved in reviewing COPPA cases and that he even uses his expertise on the Fourth Amendment and officers' use of force. And he says he can't just sit back and hold officers accountable when it comes to COPPA cases where he thinks that the facts of the case haven't been proven by COPPA.
Snelling essentially says that he works with his Bureau of Internal Affairs, his legal department. They review all of these cases. And what we found in reviewing his rebuttals to COPPA's investigations was they read like legal briefs and they got kind of more and more involved as we get more and more recent. In one case where an officer shot and paralyzed a man, CPD's response to COPPA's report was longer than COPPA's report itself. So they cite the law, they cite policy, and yeah, it's. I think that might be something that is burdening COPPA and something that is, you know, giving them pause because they have this well-reasoned response that could serve as an argument during any disciplinary proceedings.
And if I can just kind of underline this, this seems kind of unusual because I thought COPPA was supposed to be independent of the police force.
Yes, COPPA is supposed to be independent. That was why it was created. There was an agency called IPRA that was kind of the predecessor agency to COPPA that there was all sorts of problems with their not holding officers accountable. After the fatal shooting of Laquan McDonald, they, you know, changed this, made it COPPA, said this is going to be a different day. And what we heard from at least one expert was Craig Futterman from the University of Chicago was that Kirsten was independent and she was kind of a hard charger and she did stand by her findings. And so what we see now is something changing.
Okay. Anna Savchenko of WBEZ and the Sun-Times Tom Shuba. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks.
Weather, it is very pleasant. Sunny skies, high around 70 today. Clear and chilly tonight with a low in the mid-50s. Sunny and a high in the low 70s on Tuesday. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Lavis. Thanks for listening.